And I hope this series has been helpful to you. We've done what we said we were going to do. We've covered some of the basics. We've talked about the basics of discipleship, really, about studying the Bible and prayer, about and being involved in church, about tithing and giving. And this morning we're going to talk about our responsibility, our duty as servants and followers of Christ. So I want to review just a little bit this morning, just again kind of the basics. When we receive Christ as our Savior and Lord, we enter into a brand new life. We're justified by His death on the cross, our sins are forgiven, and we are born again into a new life in Christ. But it doesn't stop there, it starts there. It's just the beginning of this new life we have. Jesus is now the Lord of our life, and He places His Holy Spirit within us and then begins to produce growth in our life. We're growing. He wants us to grow in at least a couple of ways. He wants us to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God. So we grow in knowing more about Him, and we grow in knowing Him. And then He also wants us to grow in holiness. That is, that we become more and more like Jesus in our conduct, in our conversation, the way we talk and what we say, and in our character, the way we live our lives in all areas of our life. He wants to see growth. And so we have a responsibility then to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as He works in us to make us more like Jesus and to reveal more and more of who God is to us. So we've got this responsibility. The Holy Spirit helps us understand and apply God's Word to our lives. So this Word, we read it and we think, man, I am who this says I am. I live the way this book says I'm to live. The Holy Spirit helps us say no to sin and things that are displeasing to God. The Holy Spirit helps us say yes to God and to the things that He has for us and to make wise choices. The Holy Spirit also helps and causes His fruit to grow in our lives. Love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit and they grow in our life. And so all of this kind of comes together in our lives. We learn more about God. We get to know more about Him as we read the Bible. But we don't want to just know stuff about God, facts about God. We want to know Him, and we get to know Him better in relationship as we pray and as we talk with the Lord. So Bible reading and prayer are two of those core things, those basics that we need to do. I read something this week that John Stott had written regarding Bible study and prayer that I thought was really helpful. And he said, as you study the Bible, look for these things. He said, look for promises to claim, commands to obey, examples to follow, and sins to avoid. And above all, look for Jesus Christ. He's the chief subject of the Bible. I think that's excellent. Look for promises to claim, commands to obey, examples to follow, and sins to avoid. So as we're reading the Scripture, we're marking those things in our mind. All right, here's something. Yeah, I've got here's a promise for me to hold on to. Here's a command I need to obey. Here's an example to follow, sins to avoid. And then in prayer, Stott said, don't change the conversation. Begin by speaking back to God on the same subject on which He's spoken to you. So don't change the conversation. So we're reading our Bible and having a time of prayer, and as we read something in the Scripture, Stott said, if He's spoken to you of Himself and His glory, worship Him. If He's spoken to you of yourself and your sins, confess them and repent. So if He speaks to you from the Scripture about the blessings of God, well then give Him thanks. If He shows you something from the Scripture that you realize, boy, that's an area I need to work on, then ask Him for grace to be able to make the change and to live in faithful ways. And so we put Bible reading and prayer together and we continue the conversation that started as we read the Word of God. So we pray and we study God's Word. Then we said we need to connect with the church. And in doing that, some of the things you do on your own, reading the Bible and praying, we get to do corporately together, and then we gain knowledge from each other. Somebody shares what they've read in the Scripture, and we do it in a corporate sense like this on a Sunday morning in worship service, but we also do it in a Sunday school class. We do it in our life groups when we can study the Bible together, and then we're able to bless one another and share insights that God's given to us. And so we grow through that. We pray one for another as we gather together, and so we need the added blessings of being in the church and sharing our gifts and talents with others, and then you share your gifts and talents with us, and we're each blessed by that. We bear one another's burdens. We give and receive encouragement and support and help. We bring our tithe and our offerings, and then we're able to support missions and the outreach of the church in a variety of ways, and so We're blessed and we're able to bless others. And so we're doing life together, and I'm glad we don't have to do this alone. I sent a text this morning to a younger pastor here in town. The pastor's not an Assembly of God church, but I've been praying for him, and I just sent him a little note and said, "Hey, I'm praying for you to have a powerful day in your services this morning." And he sent back a text that said, "Thanks." And he said, "I'm glad we're doing this together. Glad we don't have to do this alone. We're doing church together. This is how we live our lives together." But that's not all there is to it. So what's next in terms of this basics of our Christian walk? And so I want us to look a little deeper this morning at our Christian duty and responsibility. When you get right down to it, just down to the basics here, our duty, our responsibility as a Christian is simply to follow Jesus. That's really what this is about. Our duty is to follow the Lord. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And what does that mean? It means essentially we're saying that we place Jesus and His will and His plan and purpose for us, we place Jesus and His will above our own desires, above our own goals, everything else, above everything. We want to honor Jesus and live for Him. That's what it means. Denying ourselves, dying to ourselves, and following Him. But how does that play out? How does that look in terms of following Jesus? Our friend Gail Irwin, it's been a few years since he's been here, but Gail wrote a book called The Jesus Style. He was the first person I heard about and knew that talked about the Jesus style of living as being servant-hearted and other-centered. That the way we relate to others, the way we conduct ourselves, it's to be other-centered. That we're here to serve God and to serve one another. That we're truly caring more about others even than we do ourselves. A servant-hearted, other-centered life. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all," or the servant of all. "For even the Son of Man," and Son of Man was a term that Jesus used to speak about himself, "for even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So Jesus talked about himself and saying, "I've come to serve others," and that's what we're called to do as well, that we're to be servants. Jesus said that he had come to serve. In fact, Philippians 2 said Jesus made of himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. This is who Jesus is, who he was. He came to serve. And then Jesus said in John 20, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." So what Jesus says is, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you're going to be a servant. You're going to be other-centered. You're going to have a life of choosing to serve others. I know we look at it like, you know, we're trying to achieve, we're trying to get the place where other people are serving us, right? Isn't that our goal? We want to be wealthy, so we've got servants and we tell them what to do. We want to own the business, so we tell them what to do. And that's fine if you own a business or whatever, but Jesus said, but here's how we're going to administrate that business. We're going to be leaders and we're going to be servant leaders. We're going to look for ways to serve others. He said the Gentiles, they lord it over one another. They're looking for positions of power. But he said, but not so among you, because whoever wants to be the greatest in the kingdom, you're going to learn how to serve. You're going to be the servant of all, other-centered. That's the life that he calls us to be like Jesus. So Jesus says, the Father sent me this way, I'm sending you that way, to go out into the world and serve others. That's our Christian duty. So what does that look like? Well, then let's talk about that. First of all, we're going to serve God. That's what he calls us to do, is to serve God. Recognize yourself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts right here. We're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us. I get to serve as a pastor of a church, but that doesn't make me better than somebody else. That just makes me, this is the job I have as a servant, is being this. You may be, you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you may be working at Quick Trip or working for, you know, one of the whatever company, and we're all servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it came right down to it, you're not talking about, well, I'm a more important slave than you are. Really, we're all just slaves. We're all just servants here, serving the Lord and serving others and doing what He's called us to do. So recognize yourself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament writers opened their letters with that affirmation. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. And now we can add our own name to the list. Phil, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can add your name in there, whoever you are, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we recognize that our identity, your identity, is found in being a servant of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. It's kind of a level playing field when we all just realize we're servants. And you know what? It's not a natural thing. You go back to the art park back there this morning where the little kids are, or go to any playground in town, playground in town, and you don't hear kids saying, "Me last, me last, I want to be last, you go ahead of me." You don't hear that, all right? Every kid's saying, me first, I want to be first. Because that's kind of what's in our nature. We want to be first. We want this. And yet what he says is, no, here's how we're going to live. We're going to prefer one another in love. We're going to defer to one another. We're going to say, I tell you what, you go first. No, go ahead, really. I always feel convicted when I talk about this because that's not the way I drive. I'm pretty much a me first kind of guy. And I want you to, I'd like to explain why that is, all right? I'd like to take just a moment. The reason is because I know where I'm going. And I don't have to look around and figure it out. Bless your heart. You, whoever you are, that you're in front of me in the parking garage at St. John's Hospital, just get out of my way. I know where I'm going, okay? I'm there just about every day. I know I'm shooting for a... You're looking around. You're just sitting there. No, don't do that. Pull in and get out of my way so I can get where I'm going. So actually, I am serving you by saying, get out of my way. All right? Really. Or at least that's the way I look at it. But the point is, he's called us to be servants and to be happy about it. And so we're in this to serve God. We're submitted to His authority, surrendered to His plans and His purpose for our life. So the attitude of our heart is to be, Lord, what can I do for You? How can I best serve You today? I told them when they woke up the first thing in the morning, they should ask themselves, what can I do today to make things better for my dad? Right? Is that what I said, Beck? Yeah. I don't think they got it. I don't think that ever quite made the connection with them. But maybe they didn't do that. But I think they kind of got the sense of, Lord, how can we best serve You today? And maybe that's more important than serving dad. Our response to the call of God and to His plan for the day for us ought to be like the response of the waiters at Chick-fil-A. It would be my pleasure. That's what they say. So that's the way we ought to be towards Him. Whatever the Lord says to us when He says, this is where I need you to go. This is how I want you to serve. This is who I need you to do this for. Our response should be, it would be my pleasure, Lord. As You wish. It's my pleasure to do this. And we have no higher calling, no higher purpose in our life than to serve God and to please Him. And so, Lord, You've called me to be a servant and You tell me to serve others, then, Lord, it would be my pleasure to be a servant to these people. We're all His servants. We serve in different places. We serve with different gifts and talents and abilities. We have different opportunities, but all of us serving God. At home, at school, on our job, in our neighborhood, in our church, anywhere and everywhere, we're servants of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is to define us. So we know that. We recognize that about ourselves. We're going to approach the day knowing that I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Going in that restaurant today and it's crowded and you want to cut in front of that guy, but you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know my identity. I know who I am, so I'm going to defer to someone else. We're servants. So I want to start here. Here's one of the places where it's toughest to be a servant, but that's at home. Serve God, and then serve your family. The Lord has set us all in families. Your family may be weird, it may be crazy, odd, may be dysfunctional in all caps. All right, it may be not just a capital D, but I mean all caps. It may be wonderful, it may be funny, it may just be just plain old peculiar. It may be somewhat normal, I don't know, but you know, that's family. Your family may not get you, you may not get your family, but God has given us all a family. Maybe it was by birth, maybe it was by adoption, or maybe you just said, my family's too weird and I'm going to choose those people. And you just kept showing up, you know, really, you just kept showing up at stuff till they finally kind of said, she's kind of like our adopted daughter. We don't know why, but she's here for all the family stuff. And so this is our kid. And you just found yourself a new family. And sometimes we do that. Whatever the case, it may include your in-laws too. Some of you are going, oh, really? But yeah. So your in-laws. Whatever the case, being a servant of Jesus Christ means we look for ways to serve our family. So at each stage of our life, in the life of a family, there's opportunity to serve. We treat our family and love our family as we would Christ. We honor our parents, and parents love and nurture their children and sacrifice for their children. We love our brothers and sisters, our siblings. We forgive them and treat them as we want to be treated. If we marry, we're to love our spouse. The husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and I think they can reciprocate. If we marry, we're going to love our spouse's family, our in-laws as well, our nieces and nephews and grandparents and cousins, you name it. We're called to serve Christ by serving the members of our family. And it doesn't end, as Sarah was telling the kids. You're still going to be somebody's kid, or you're still, maybe you're serving elderly parents and caring for them or other family members or whatever. It's the responsibility of being a servant of Christ and then to serve our family. And think about ways we can serve our family this morning. And I'll just tell you, and I don't mean to climb on a soapbox here, but marriage and family, there's no question it's under attack in our culture. And we've seen it, no-fault divorce. People just walk away from their vows and their commitment. The redefinition of marriage by the courts. Couples that have just are living together without the blessing of God through marriage. And all of that together undermines God's plan for the family. I really believe if Jesus tarries, where this is going is 100 years from now, marriage won't be anything. It won't even exist. And it's almost like, you know, sociologists look at it like, well, it's just an evolutionary process, and we're going to finally outgrow the need for monogamous family and marriages, and we'll just, 100 years from now, we'll just all be doing whatever. And you know what? I've seen the future, and I don't want to go there. The destruction of family. We need families to be strong and together. We've seen families be devastated, kids having to grow up without family members. What we need, followers of Christ, who will step up and serve their family. Couples who will honor their marriage vows. Men who will do whatever it takes to please God and to serve and love their wife and their children. Men who will be a dad and love your kids and raise them to know Jesus. We need women who will love their husbands. Moms who will love their children and teach them what a godly woman looks like. That will teach them about modesty and faithfulness and love. You want to be a minister? Minister to your family. Minister to your family. I've had preachers, gripe to me about, I can't get a church, and nobody will have me for this, nobody will have me for that. And I'm thinking, you know what? Your first calling is to be a husband and to be a dad or whatever, and you need to get busy and be a minister to your family. Well, they spend all the time griping about the fact they don't have some kind of international television ministry. Your family's losing out. You need to get home and take care of your family. Somebody, I say amen to that this morning. So, We need folks that will minister to their family. Let it start at home. I'm thankful. We've got young families in this church who have become adoptive parents and foster parents. God bless you. We need Christian families that'll be adoptive parents and foster parents. And we've got more that are adopting. And how I commend you for that. But all ages are to serve their family. Children, we read this morning, and teenagers are to honor and to obey their parents. To submit to that godly authority. Let me just tell you, kids and teenagers, you don't live in a hotel. You live in a home, in a house, all right? Your mom's not your maid. Amen, ladies? I know. Well, he's only 16. He doesn't know to pick up his underwear. Well, pick it up. Put it in the hamper and then do your laundry. Because I got to tell you, you teach your kids how to have a... If you want them to have a happy marriage, you better tell them how to pick the clothes up off the floor. All right? Because there's a young lady somewhere waiting that she's going to say, I called your mama and she don't want to come over here and do your laundry. Get your stuff off the floor. Get your drawers back where they're supposed to be. So I'm just giving you a little helpful marriage tip right there that mom and dad, you can help your children. Am I right? Am I right? All right. Mom's not your maid. Your father's not your old man. You need to respect your parents. The Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. It's the first commandment with a promise. The first commandment in the Bible with a promise is to honor your father and mother, that it'll go well with you and that you'll have long life on the earth. My mom used to quote that to me. And so I'm doing okay. I think I honored my mom and dad. Think about that the next time you get ready to smart off to your parents about something. The Lord said, if you'll honor them, it'll go well with you and you'll have long life. And you're worrying about your cholesterol, maybe you need to worry about how you're honoring your mom and dad, all right? That may be the kicker right there. So just think about that. Parents, the Bible also says, fathers and mothers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. NIV says, don't exasperate your children, and I wasn't quite sure what that meant, so I decided not to use that, but because I would never do that. But don't provoke your children. Train them and nurture them in the instruction of the Lord. Parents, think about it. Is my parenting style directing and pointing my children towards Jesus? Am I living a life as I parent that my kids can watch and say, so that's how you're supposed to be a Christian? And that's a positive thing, right? That they're saying, yeah, I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God like my folks. Parenting is to train your children in the instruction of the Lord. And while I'm just hitting it out here, we need single people who honor the sanctity of marriage by keeping themselves sexually pure, refusing to have sex before marriage, outside of marriage, and by actually marrying and refusing to just go along with a culture that says, date a couple of times and then move in. We serve God and we serve the family by doing what God calls us to do, and that's honoring the sanctity of marriage and family. Say amen to that if you would, and that'll cover for you in case somebody's... Anyway, so we serve the family by obeying Christ and doing what He's called us to do. Then number three, serve your co-workers and your classmates. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we're to be like Jesus on the job and in the classroom. It's often been said we may be the only Jesus that somebody ever sees. You may never get your co-workers. They may not ever have been to church before, but they get an idea of what a Christian is by working around you. How they talk, how they function, what they care about, how they conduct themselves when things aren't going right. And we can serve those around us by consistently and faithfully living for Jesus. So let me say again this morning, let the character of Christ be seen in your life, in your conversation and in your conduct, in your job performance, in your actions at school. Someone is watching your life. They're looking to see how you live your life. They're looking to see what you talk about, how you act in the locker room, how you act in the break room. They're looking to see how you live your life. And so they want to see, what does this look like? Live so they can see Jesus in your life. Live and conduct yourself so they can see Jesus in your work performance and in school. And it doesn't mean just that you don't swear or you don't take the Lord's name in vain, you don't tell dirty jokes. Nor does it mean you carry a giant Bible to work or to school with you and you knock people down and use it like a club and threaten them. You better stop living that way or I'm going to beat you over the head with a Strong's Concordance or something. It means you live right. It means if you're an employee, it means you're honest. It means you're on time, that you show up, that you do your work, that you're diligent in your work ethic, that you do exactly what you're told to do. Nobody needs a lazy, incompetent employee who lets everybody know that they're a Christian, and then they're the laziest guy on the job, and they're sloppy in their work, and instead of doing their job, they spend all their time supposedly witnessing to somebody standing over in a corner somewhere. Well, you know what? Before you opened your mouth, you've already done your witnessing. You let everybody know that you were a lazy, incompetent bum, and they're thinking, and that's what a Christian does, huh? That you lied and you're cheating on the job and all that kind of stuff. God help us. What we need to do is be a witness by being the best worker you can be on the job. Say amen to that this morning. That doesn't honor the Lord for you to act that way. You've got a responsibility to your boss. You've got a responsibility to the owner of the company to do your job. The Message Bible says, work with a smile on your face, keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God. You're working for God. So act like it. Do your job with excellence as unto the Lord. It works that way in everything. And so, you're not getting to say, well, I just don't feel like doing that today. No, I'm going to honor my boss. This is the job I'm going to do, then I'm going to do it with all my might. And we show that by our performance and by our work ethic. That he can say, you know what? He's the best guy there. Pay your bills on time. All right? You want to have a strong witness? Pay your bills. Do your work. Let them say, it's sad, man. I've had people say, well, the worst of the guys who are always late on their payments are preachers. I've had people tell me that. Really? Well, I'm sorry to hear it. We're going to pay our bills on time. Churches that didn't pay their bills, well, we ran into it along the journey, and they end up with a bad reputation to everybody in town because the church owes everybody in town. Lord, help us. If we want to be a witness, it's not just that we can hand out tracts. It's that we live our lives in a way that people can see Jesus through that. And that happens on the job for us. It doesn't matter who's given the orders. We're really serving God, and so do our work. Friday morning, I was invited to pray with a group of, actually, the co-owners and managers of a manufacturing company. And it was such a blessing to hear these men pray. They prayed for their employees. They knew all the guys working. They mentioned, you know, somebody that lost a family member and whatever. They prayed for the employees. They prayed for their business, that they would have integrity and they would be faithful in their job. They prayed for their customers. They prayed for their vendors. They prayed for the people they were doing business with. They were determined to honor God with their business, to serve their families and their churches and their community. And you know what? I thought, man, God can't help but bless a company like this because they're honoring God in their business and in the way they're conducting themselves. It's part of what He calls us to serve God, to serve our family, and to serve then our job and our classmates. And students, serve your classmates. Serve the Lord in your school. And that too means more than just carrying your Bible on top of your books. It means being kind to other students, even the ones that maybe aren't so kind and so nice to you. Maybe it means being kind to the unpopular kids that nobody else hangs out with, the one that nobody speaks to, or the ones that somebody else makes fun of. Maybe it means sitting with that unpopular kid that nobody else sits with at the lunch table. School started and everybody kind of gets in their little groups, and there's the cool kids and there's the jocks and there's the nerds, and then there's a couple people that just don't fit anywhere and they're sitting over there, and you're thinking, well, I'll lose my reputation if I sit with them. But where would Jesus be sitting in the lunchroom? And maybe it's over there with them and you just say, Lord, if that's who I can help today, then that's where I'll sit. And you make that choice then to let your light shine in your school. It means you'll be respectful of your teachers and the school property and the students and their property. It means you stand for what's right. It means you refuse to bully and belittle somebody else, even if everybody else is picking on that person. It means you refuse to just go along with the crowd when you know what they're doing is wrong. It means you live for Jesus, because remember, your identity is, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you walk into that school knowing, whatever your name is, man, put it on your school book, you know. Avery said, Avery, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's who you are when you walk in there. This is who I am. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it challenges the way I choose to live. I'm going to live for Jesus because I'm His servant. And when you do, others are going to take notice and they're going to stand up for it. Don't be afraid to stand up for Jesus and do what's right. Dare to be a leader in serving Jesus. You see, we're to influence and affect change among our co-workers and our classmates by faithfully living for Jesus. And we're to make our company, our business, our school, our class, our workplace better because we're there. Pray for your co-workers and classmates. Show them you care. Look for opportunities to show kindness, to bless them. Help them because you truly care. I think your company ought to be blessed, and the companies that work for your company ought to be blessed because you're a Christian and you're serving Jesus and you're doing good work. And they ought to say, we want to do business with that guy's company because they live for Jesus and conduct themselves that way. You'll have the favor of the Lord if you choose to serve God and serve your company and your classmates. Then serve your church. And I shared reasons a couple of weeks ago why we should be part of the local church. In fact, I shared reasons why you ought to be part of this local church. So I'm not going to go back over that, but just let me say again, you need to be part of a local church. You're already a member of the church, of His church, through your faith in Jesus Christ. But connect with and be a part of a local church. And if it's this one, hallelujah, we are thrilled to have you. Or if it's somewhere else, but be a part of a local church. You need the church, and the church needs you. You need the gifts and the blessing a church can bring, but you need to bless others with your gifts. And there are all kinds of ways you can get involved in the life of the church. Start by just showing up and come back tonight. Come to CW and to man up and see what's going on. Show up, jump in, hang around, get acquainted, but let's find ways to serve. And then here's the last thing, is to serve your world. You say, well, how do we serve the world? Jesus said to be in the world but not of the world. And the truth is, we best serve the world by presenting Jesus to the world. And Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Not just hear your good words, but see your good deeds, to see your actions, and then they'll give glory to God in heaven. We're called to be salt and light in our world. Salt adds flavor to food, to meat, and salt also is a preservative. It acts in slowing the decaying process. Light reduces and dispels darkness. So salt and light both bring about change when they're introduced in something. And we're supposed to bring about change when we're introduced. We influence and make a positive change in the world around us as we let our light shine and let the flavor of Christ breathe through us. The world's decaying, and whether they know it or not, they need some salt. And that means they need you on that job or in that school. They need you. From the beginning, the church has been serving as salt and light, doing good deeds in the name of Christ, feeding the hungry, caring for the sick and dying, caring for widows and orphans, visiting those in prison, ministering the needs of refugees, victims of oppression, victims of human trafficking, victims of disasters and terrorism. The church is there to serve and to help. It's no mystery that two of the largest hospitals in this city and the largest concerns are St. John's and St. Francis, and your dealings may be that they, whatever, but the heart of it is that they, when they started out, were run by nuns and run by Christians that were planted there because they cared about the sick and the hurting. And it's just that way. I hear people saying, well, you know, Christians, they've fought all these wars and stuff. It's been Christians for 2,000 years that have built the orphanages and built the hospitals and built the hospices, and they've cared for people, and they've been there in every disaster and every crisis. And so we didn't get it all wrong, but we sure got a whole lot of it right. Thank God for His church today. And so we continue to find ways to be servant-hearted and other-centered and to serve others. And there's so many ways to do it. And you don't have to just do it through the church. There's all kinds of organizations. You can volunteer and work in a secular organization that serves the needs of others, and you can be salt and light there to those that are hurting as well as to your co-workers. Let them see your good deeds, and don't hide your light, but let it shine. And of course, the most important thing is that we serve our world by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news. Proclaim the good news to all creation. Not everybody's going to be a preacher and stand behind a pulpit. Not everybody's going to, you know, be a vocal witness perhaps. But everybody is commissioned to go and to share the gospel. Oral Roberts taught us as his students that the Great Commission meant to go into every man's world, go into every person's world, go to engineering places and manufacturing places, wherever you were planted, wherever you have influence, that's your world, and that was the call. Go to the places where you have influence and be a faithful light and proclaim the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. Go and tell. That's what the commission was. From the first moment on that Sunday, Easter Sunday morning. And so the angels say, go and tell. He's not here. He's risen. Go and tell. Go and tell the disciples. The angel says to Mary Magdalene, go and tell Peter. Jesus says, go and tell Peter and the apostles. Go and tell them I'll meet them in the Galilee. Go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell. And that's the commission to us now. Go and tell somebody. Tell them about Jesus. You say, well, I'm not very good at evangelism and I don't know the scriptures very well. I don't know what to say. But you know your story, don't you? You know your story better than everybody else. You can tell your story like nobody else can. Just tell the difference that Jesus has made in your life. Just point somebody to Jesus. Well, I'm not living a very good life. Well, then work on your own life, but point them to Jesus. Invite them to church. Invite them to come with you on Wednesday night. Invite them to Caggy. Tell them, hey, why don't you come to my youth service tonight? There's free pizza and it's great, and just come. Invite somebody. Invite your coworker. Just tell them, hey, how about I'll buy you dinner Wednesday night. Meet me at my church at 5:30, and we're having whatever. What are we having Wednesday night? Huh? Taco salad. Man, who doesn't want to be here Wednesday night? Taco salad. It's like a choir shouting at me, so yeah. All right? So tell them, hey, why don't you come to my church Wednesday night? I mean, it's great. It's taco salad. I'll buy your dinner or whatever. If you don't have any money, just come on. We'll have taco salad. We'll sit and visit. And then, we'll go to a new community. And they're studying the book of Luke. And it's, man, no pressure. Nobody's yelling at you or anything. He's a really good teacher. And the music's good and loud and whatever. Or if it's old guys, then tell them, come go to, they sing hymns on Wednesday night in big church. And the guy's kind of funny sometimes. And so, taco salad, we're out of there by 7:30, man. And well, yeah, that's not too threatening, is it? You know, there's no, you know, whatever weird things happening for the most part. So just get them to come. Just tell them, come And let me share some of the joy and the experience and the forgiveness that I've found in Christ. Offer to pray for them. You don't have to lay a big thing. Just when they're telling you about, man, I don't want to do, my kids are a mess and whatever, just say, hey, is it okay if I pray for you? You mean right here? Well, we could get in the car and drive somewhere, but it'd be simpler if I just prayed right here. I can do it with my eyes open. Jesus, I just pray you'll bless this guy's kids and the mess they're in and help them. You have no idea the impact that that prayer can make. Denny Nisley just got back from Sturgis last month or whatever. He goes up there, rides his Harley up there, and Denny and Sandy, and they do free oil changes for all the guys at Sturgis. And it's unbelievable how many people they can lead to Jesus, or at least say, you ask a big old ugly hairy biker, man, can I pray for you? And it's amazing how many of them will go, yeah, I'd really appreciate that. And to pray with them. Pray that they, I don't know, don't fall off their bike. I don't know what they're praying for, but Denny's praying for them. I'm just telling you, there's ways to share the gospel. Another way you can serve is by giving to missions through the church. And we regularly give you opportunity to partner with missions. You hear them speak on Sundays, and a chance for you to give an offering to help send them places where you don't even want to go. And I hope in a few weeks we'll talk about faith promises for missions, where you can regularly give to help the missionaries that our church supports. And hundreds of thousands of dollars is given away through this church to help missionaries. We do short-term missions trips, and maybe you can get on one of those where you can share Jesus in another culture with your church. But understand that missions is not about flying to some faraway place. It's about taking Jesus to your world. So the Christian life's about service. Serve God. Serve your family. Serve your co-workers and your classmates. Serve your church and serve your world. And in all of this, we do this as unto the Lord. This is our Christian duty. This is our responsibility as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible says in Colossians 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. That's who you're serving. It's not that boss that's kind of cranky on Monday mornings. And I'm not talking about your wife, but you know what I'm talking about. I couldn't resist. And Paul is not cranky on Monday. We don't speak in the morning, so it's really not a problem. I'm not trying to. I wave. She walks at 6 and I wave. Yeah, have a good time. I'm waiting for the Today Show. Even if your boss is cranky, it's like, I'm doing this as unto the Lord. It's the Lord that I'm serving. That's who I'm called to serve. Bosses, principals, teachers, classmates, friends, family, in-laws, I'm here to serve. Let's pray. Lord, make us excellent servants, ready and willing, that our response to you in all your commands and in all your will for us, we can say, it would be my pleasure to serve you, Lord, because it is in serving that we see the blessings of God administered, that we're able to be salt and light, and it makes a difference in those around us, that in serving, we're more like Jesus than any other time. Lord, help us to be servants that please you, eager to serve you, to serve our family, to serve our classmates and our co-workers, looking for opportunity to be kind and to show grace and mercy, looking for ways to point others to Jesus. And sometimes it's not even that intentional. It's just simply that we live our lives, and with acts of kindness, people see Jesus in us. Lord, we want to look like you by serving and by serving our world. Help us, Lord, that all can see that we've been with Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand together. May the mercy of the Lord and His grace and peace be upon you as you go out into this world and serve Jesus. We'll see you tonight. Thanks for being here this morning. Amen.